a Rayo Original Podcast.
Had you experienced heartbreak before, Andrew?
As a person, you're so kind, you're so lovely, but it wasn't the love that I wanted. It was hard because you're letting go of a whole person that you spent so much time with. I want to change people's mindset of how they feel with their disability. I want to help people with their self-confidence, self-love. My implant broke when I was 16. As we did my A-levels, I had to get a whole new implant. I was deaf for about 5 to 6 months. And then my dad kind of turned around and said, Tash, it's your superpower. Like, you should see it as a positive thing. So I didn't have that one person on TV, on social media. Back then Instagram just started out, TikTok, Snapchat wasn't a thing yet. And there was nobody where I could look up to and relate with. Because I was born into a hearing family. No one in my family has a disability. And that's kind of when I thought, okay, I'm really on my own. But everyone has struggles in their life. It's about how you use that and utilise that for the better. I know it's cliche to say life's a climb, but it's great, And when you get to that, you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back to Rides with Roxy. Today's guest captured the nation's heart through her unforgettable performances on Love Island and Strictly Come Dancing. But today, she's here to talk about something much more powerful than the spotlight. Tasha Gorey, born completely deaf, spent years feeling like an outsider because of what made her different. But today, that difference is her superpower. In her new book, Your Superpower, she reveals how to transform what sets you apart into your greatest strength. In this episode, we're diving deep into the themes of identity, confidence, and the resilience it takes to rise and keep rising in a world that doesn't always understand you. Whether you're struggling to find your voice, feeling stuck in your story, or simply need a little boost of self-belief, then this episode is for you. So let's rise together with Tasha Gorey. So Tasha, thank you so much for joining me on Rise with Roxy. Me and all my team have been so excited to have you on, and everyone was like, oh my God, Tasha's coming in today. Like, we all couldn't wait. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
And your book, Your Superpower, has just come out. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
It feels surreal. I did a book last year that I co-authored with Lizzie Huxley-Jones, but this is the year where I done it on my own, got my experiences in there. It's more like a memoir, so it's not like an autobiography, because I feel like I've not lived here long enough to have a whole autobiography. So it's kind of like being on FaceTime with me. That's like the book's about. So yeah, it feels very surreal, but I'm excited. It's here. It's launched. Yeah, and that's it.
Oh, well, I can't wait to dive into your story today. Now, in Your Superpower, you talk about how something that once made you feel like an outsider has now become like your biggest strength, your superpower. And I wanted to ask if we could go back. And when was the first time you realized or felt that you were different from other people?
Probably when I was in primary school, that was probably the time when I realised, oh, there's nobody else like me that has a cochlear implant or has hearing aids or is deaf. That's kind of when I realised, oh, okay, I'm very different to everybody else. And then going into high school, that's where it massively affected me. As a woman, you're going through body change, hormones, periods, you're thinking about the future, identities. And at that point, I really had lack of self-confidence. I was very introvert, wouldn't talk about it, I wore my hair down. I was very shy, I was kind of the girl in the corner, wouldn't really speak to anyone. And especially in school, teachers weren't deaf aware as well. So the turn away would either rely on lip reading or be put at the back of a class when I should be at the front. Little things like that massively took a toll on my confidence. And that's kind of when I realised I was different and very segregated away from everybody else. I think that was years ago. There was no social media. There wasn't any of that to help educate.
Yeah.
And that's where it stems from. It really is pretty much from school.
My son is 5, and I almost feel that when kids are really young, actually, they're more accepting of other people's differences. They're less self-conscious. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's kind of as you get into those early teen years that people start to, either you feel different within ourselves, like we all might feel like there's something about us that makes us stand out or feel like an outsider, or other people actually treat us this way. So was that what it was like for you at primary school? Did it feel it wasn't that big a deal and then it changed, or what was it for you?
Yeah, because I think in primary school I had a carer with me. She was called Marianne. She's my family friend to this day.
Oh.
And she was always by my side. Mm. And all my friends used to come to like a class with her. We taught British Sign Language. We learned it all together. So
yeah.
I felt so included.
Yeah.
And even during my break time, I'd go off on my own and practice on my speech therapy.
Mm.
And I'd give up my playtime just for that. But I felt safe to do that there and then.
Yeah.
It was probably when I got to high school, you kind of thrown into it. You know, I didn't have Marianne anymore. I was on my own. I had to be independent. And nobody else used British Sign Language around me.
Mm.
And that's when I thought, oh, okay, I need to really push my speech more, and that's the only way I can communicate with people here.
Mm.
So it was quite isolating at first, but in a way, my parents did that because they knew it was going to benefit me for the future.
Yeah.
Put me in that position, force me to open doors, you know, and mm-hmm. I think I'm grateful for that. But it was hard at first because I thought, oh no, nobody else is using sign language at all. So I really had to focus on my speech a lot.
And how do you think that impacted you by the time you left school? Sort of, what was the Tasha at 17 or 18 when you'd finished school, and how did you feel about yourself?
I was so excited to leave. Like, for me, the tunnel vision was school's not going to be forever. I want to get out of this town, move to London. You know, that was my biggest vision, go to a dance conservatoire, train as a dancer. And I was so excited. And during, when I was younger, dancing always was my safe space. I went to go to a local dance studio, did some classes, and that's when I realised I want to do this as a career. So when I left, when I was 18, I moved straight to London, put myself out there, trained at a dance conservatoire for 3 years, and I moved straight into London after that as well. So, you know, I think for me, I always knew there was more in me than just staying in my hometown. It's a small town. There's no opportunities there. So that's why I thought, you know what, I'm going to get myself out there and just give it a go.
Who do you think inspired you to do that? Sort of where were you getting your kind of inspiration from, or where did you have that vision to move out? Because not everybody has that, you know. I think people really do stick to what they know. Mm. So what made you think, I'm getting out of here?
My dad and my brother. So my dad moved to Spain when I was about 16.
Mm.
And my brother left to go backpacking to New Zealand. Then he moved to Australia when I was about 14, 15. And when I saw them both just go for their own happiness, that's when I realised, okay, they're so much happier because they got themselves out there.
Yeah.
And that's when I realised I need to do the same. You know, there's so much more out there than just staying where you are. But it's not a bad thing to stay where you are, but there's so much more to see out there. There's so many more opportunities that can come your way. Especially as a dancer, London is the only place in the UK that is beneficial to train, work, you know, for career. That's the place where dancers go, really.
Mm.
And the West End, you know, all those dreams. That's why I thought, I'm just going to do it.
I love that. I love that you've said that your dad moving when you were 16 was part of you wanting to do it. Because I think that as parents, I think it's so important to realise that we are showing our children the importance of independence.
Yeah.
Of doing things for ourselves. And I think that sometimes as parents, we can think that their happiness is the most important thing, which it is. But actually, kids are watching what's making their parents happy and copying that. And you've just given such a clear example of that. And just as a parent, I think that's really really nice to hear.
Wow.
So you've shared that you don't view your deafness as a disability. Mm. And in fact, it's your superpower. And do you think there was a specific moment or turning point where you made that realization?
It was actually my dad, once again. He was he's a massive part of my life. He actually said to me, Tash, it's your superpower. I used to see it as such a negative thing, you know, when I was younger. I used to think, why me? Like, why am I the person that has got this? Why not somebody else? Because I didn't have that one person on TV, on social media. You know, back then, Instagram just started out. TikTok, Snapchat wasn't a thing yet, you know. And there was nobody where I could look up to and relate with, because I was born into a hearing family. No one in my family has a disability. And that's kind of when I thought, okay, I'm really on my own. So sometimes I went through really hard struggles, not necessarily they would understand. And then my dad kind of turned around and said, Tash, it's your superpower. Like, you should see it as a positive thing. Of course, there's side struggles that come with it, but everyone has struggles in their life. You know, it's about how you use that and utilize that for the better and what you can do with that. And he really opened my eyes, and I thought, you're right. You know, that's when I realized I want to change people's perspectives on it. I want to change people's mindset of how they feel with their disability. You know, I want to help people with their self-confidence, self-love. And that's what made me realise because of my dad. And that's when he really pushed me to do that.
How old were you then?
I was about 16, 17, I would say.
So
yeah.
Just before you were going to go on this new journey. Yeah. Like the best thing he ever said to you then.
Yeah, massively.
Oh,
massively.
That's so beautiful. And, you know, one thing that I was thinking about when I knew I was coming down to speak with you, I wanted to hear your opinion on this because I think having a disability, I want to know your answer to this, is that do you think people are inherently kind and good people, or has your experience been that people are more ignorant and judgmental?
For me, perceptions have changed. You know, even when I was on Love Island, I had a lot of ableism. I spoke openly about that. There's a lot of judgment around the way I spoke. You know, people writing, I want to take out a cochlear implant, throw it in a pool. You know, it was really, really bad. And that was the first time I really experienced that kind of judgment. Even before that, I think people were scared to ask questions about it. You know, people wouldn't really come over and say, oh, what is that in your ear? Or
yeah,
I think people got scared to do that. So then after Love Island, all that happened, I kind of thought, okay, this is a good time to kind of educate people and say, it is okay to come over and ask about it. You know, we're not robots. We're not going to turn away and not even answer the question, you know. And I think from that, and more I've been speaking about it, the more people are interested. The more people are like, oh, it's okay to ask you about it. It's okay to be more understanding. You know, it's a safe space. So I think now it has changed because people use our platforms now. Whereas back then, I think people were more hesitant and more scared to even approach me. Or sometimes if I ask, please repeat yourself, sometimes people get annoyed and be like, oh, she's asked so many times to repeat myself, you know, things like that. Whereas now I think people are understanding if we do that, it's not because we're being annoying, it's because we didn't hear you the first time.
Of course.
So people, I think, are starting to learn and understand more for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine, like it blows my mind that people would like be so mean and critical after Love Island. How did that feel? Like, especially as it's the first time you'd put yourself in such a public platform.
Yeah.
How did you do? Firstly, were you expecting that kind of reaction? Because I mean, it wouldn't even cross my mind that someone would say something so mean. And when it did happen, how did you cope with it?
I did not expect that at all. Of course, I expected maybe something about my looks, my personality, of course. But when it was to the level about my disability, I thought, whoa. And when I came out, I remember my dad and my mum sat me down and kind of said, these are the kind of things that have been said. And I was so shocked. I was like, what? I did not think it was going to be to that scale.
Yeah.
And at the time, it could have knocked me two ways. I could have gone down the deep hole of looking for more, you know, going down the depressed route. Whereas actually, I thought, you know what? I'm going to use that as fire to do better, you know, to educate people. And you'd be surprised at the amount of people that have come back and said, I'm so sorry, it's because I didn't know that. It's just down to lack of awareness.
Right.
And that's where it stems from, is school, you know, that's where we should be learning about these things and learn about what a cochlear implant is or any kind of disability. And that's where your brain is really developing at that age. So I think, you know, a lot of people kind of were surprised about why my voice sounded the way it did because they weren't educated on that.
Yeah.
So I came out and I said, you know what, I'm going to use my platform and just be a voice for everybody else that's going through the same thing.
And I'm so glad that you did. And I'm so glad that you had that resilience and that perspective and have been gaining awareness. And that I'm sure that you must hear so many amazing stories of people and young people who have any kind of disability who you are inspiring so much. It must feel amazing.
Thank you.
What does confidence mean to you?
I think it's about being proud of who you are. Like the way I see confidence is when I look at somebody, I'm like, I know you're confident because you're so comfortable with yourself. Like, that's how I see it, you know. Yeah. And confidence, I believe, is not something that comes in a day. It takes time to even find the confidence in yourself. So I feel like it's definitely a self-love thing. If you really, truly believe in yourself and love yourself, I feel like that's where the confidence grows.
And what do you think some of the steps that you've taken have been to gain confidence?
I think for me, I love doing affirmations. I love journaling. That's kind of my thing that I love to do. And I think also, especially opening up, I don't know if that's like to link with that, but I think talking to friends and family, if you're ever feeling not confident, you know, talk to people around you because they can pick you up. They're there to also help you and guide you. And I think also I love listening to music. Music's my thing. Like I put on a Saturday's Mega Mix. I'm like, okay, good to go. Now I'm feeling really confident today.
Yeah.
You know, it's finding little things that worked. But for me, that's what really worked. And I know it sounds silly, but even looking in the mirror and just saying, you've got this. It's just something to yourself, like one sentence, you know, to get you through it. That really helped.
I absolutely love that. And if you were, if there's somebody listening and they are struggling with, maybe they feel that they are different to other people, and it could be for any number of reasons, and they have felt like they just can't find that sense of like self-worth that they need to really flourish in their lives, what would you say to that person?
I would say take your time. You know, it's not a race. Life's complicated enough as it is. You know, you need to be kind to yourself. And I think we forget to be kind to ourselves. We deal with so much day in, day out. We take a toll on ourselves. We don't actually sit down and just breathe.
Yeah.
You know, just breathe and it's going to be okay. You know, I think that's what I would say to that person is it all will work out. Trust the process.
Yes, I love that. I'm so about trusting the process.
Yeah.
I would love to talk a little bit about relationships and love.
Yeah.
And I think, I know in your book, Your Superpower, you spoke about heartbreak. And I really wanted to talk about this with you because I think that heartbreak can be one of the worst feelings in the world. It can be something that feels so lonely. Mm-hmm. I think it can make you feel so hopeless. And I know that when I've been in heartbreak, hearing other people's stories and hearing how they got through it has been so comforting. Yeah. So I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about your experience with heartbreak.
I think heartbreak's an interesting one. I always say there's different kinds of heartbreaks as well. Yeah. You know, I feel like every heartbreak I've gone through has been such a different feeling.
Mm.
And how I deal with it, you always are going to find love again.
Yeah.
You know, it's always out there for you, whether that's a friendship thing or a relationship thing or a family thing. And to get through it, you have to let it happen. You have to feel the emotions. Mm-hmm. If you bottle it in, you're not going to move on from that. You know, you have to let the emotions out. If you need to cry, cry. If you need to go into a room, smash things up, do it, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe not actually smash things up, but you know, there's like rooms in London where you can actually go and do that.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh God, I love that. Like
in London, there's somewhere, this room, we can just go in, there's plates in there and stuff, and you can just smash things up if you want to.
I love that.
Whatever you need to feel, feel it. You know, heartbreak is so hard because you spend so much time with that person, you make so many memories, and you think the future with that person, and one day that can all change. And it's grieving. You need to grieve. You know, it is a whole process and it takes time. So it really is just about really feeling that emotion and don't be afraid to grieve. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think that's so beautiful and so true. It really, because I always think that emotions, you know, they are energy, and that energy gets stuck within you if you don't let it out or transfer it to a healthier emotion or a more positive emotion, or one that will make you feel better rather than hold you back.
Yeah.
Had you experienced heartbreak before, Andrew, or was that your first big heartbreak?
I have experienced heartbreak from Andrew. Yeah. I did. And that was like a whole different relationship that I had before. And I was really young as well. And like when it's like a young thing, it's different because I feel like you really feel that heartbreak.
Oh my God, there's nothing worse than the first one.
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like it's a whole different, I'm never going to find love again. Like it's that kind of heartbreak. So I had one before.
And how did you know it was time to call things off? And for anybody listening as well, you know, who's maybe in a relationship where they don't know whether it's time. I think it's a really hard one because there's lots of people who get stuck in relationships and they don't know where, like, when's the right time. What's your experience and what's your advice to someone going through something similar?
It's hard because I was exactly the same, you know, exactly what you said. I was that person, you know. And I think for me, my parents are divorced, and I think I saw my mum unhappy. I saw my dad unhappy. I've seen my dad go through relationships. I've seen my mum go through a relationship, had another heartbreak. And I think seeing them now with their people and happy, it kind of the thing is, it's hard because I love Andrew. Like, I loved Andrew, you know, as a person. He's so kind, he's so lovely. And but it wasn't the love that I wanted. You know, there's different kinds of love I believe people have, and that's okay, you know. But somebody else will have that love from him that deserves that love. And I'm sure, I really do hope he finds somebody that just has that. But for me, it's not the love that I wanted. And that's when I started to realise, actually, it's not a bad thing, you know. It's just wasn't right for me anymore. And I kind of had to let go of that. And it was hard because it's, you're letting go of a whole person that you spent so much time with, day in and day out, you spent memories with. But I think there's no right time as well. There's no such thing as a right time, and you have to just do it. You know, as scary as it is, even me living on my own now is scary. I'm thinking I'm on my own, like I feel alone sometimes, but it's a whole process you do have to go through. And you've got your friends and family around you, you know, you have people that support you. So it was just kind of a moment off. I had to think about the future and my happiness in that time. And that's kind of like what helped, I think. And I kind of looked at my parents, and that's what gave me the eyesight off. You know, I didn't want to settle into something that I knew wasn't for me anymore.
Honestly, I think that's such amazing advice. And even I feel like I really needed to hear that. I think it's so true that it is, like, you use the word settling at the end. And I think, you know, when I talk about manifesting, I always think that, like, in all areas of our lives, whether it's relationships or our jobs, or we really have to think about, is this blocking what I really want from entering my life? And could I, do I need to let something go to create space for what I really want? So I think, do you know what? I think that's a piece of advice that we all need to hear, whether it's about our partners or something else. But yeah, thank you. That's really, that's so helpful to hear. And how are you finding single life now? I know that you just said sometimes you do feel alone, and you know, sometimes, how are you finding it?
I'm just a bit like getting used to my own company again. You know, it's been a long time since I've even been single, and a bit like, and especially now in the public eye, it's a whole different world of navigating that now as well. And I think right now I just kind of want to enjoy my own company and find that confidence in myself again to be able to, you know, I've been doing solo trips, which has been nice. I went to I went to Mallorca the other weekend, did like a retreat of wellness. I had a nice wine, read books, sunbathed. You know, I'm building confidence again just to be on my own. And like, even in the house I'm in now, like making it my own, like with decorations and, you know, things like that. But yeah, dating at the moment is not ready yet for that.
And can I ask, how do you think, like, is there any fear, or is there any obstacles that you have found with dating due to your deafness? Or do you think that people are generally understanding? Like, how have you dealt with it, if you don't mind me asking?
That's fine.
Yeah.
When back in the day, I just kind of used to say it on text message before I met them, or I would say it to their face and just say, look, just to let you know, before we meet, I was born deaf and I wear a cochlear implant. So if you can pick somewhere that's not too noisy, or like, you know, because I always get scared of booking like a jazz club. I'm going to be sat there like, oh, no, this is a bit awkward. But that's kind of why I thought, I'll put it out there that it's done. I don't have to kind of elaborate unless they ask me, you're interested. I absolutely would.
Yeah.
So I think that's my advice I give to people, is don't be afraid of people's reactions.
Yeah.
If they react negatively, it says more about them than you. So that's kind of how I saw it.
Yeah. And were you able to, like, has that ever happened to you where somebody, it has resulted in them maybe responding in a negative way? And how did you cope with that?
I've had one before, and he kind of was like, so how do you hear? Like, you know, but it was a kind of negative manner. And like, he was making jokes about my deafness. And, you know, it got a bit, I was like.
On an in-person date?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think he was trying to make light of the situation, but it came across completely wrong. And I kind of was like, I'm just going to quickly end this day and just go. But I think he just responded to it really weirdly. But, you know, like, that just means that wasn't a person for
me.
And that's okay.
I love how you've obviously got such a, like, amazing mindset and attitude. Like, in everything that you say, I think there's this real positivity that underpins everything. And do you think that's because you've said that it's your superpower? And do you think part of the reason it's your superpower is because it's built this resilience and inner strength within you?
100%. I think I went through my first operation when I was bi, and I had to go through speech therapy, and then my implant broke when I was 16. I was in the middle of my A-levels, so I had to get a whole new implant. I was deaf for about 5 to 6 months. So I've gone through quite a lot of like obstacles, and I think that's what's made me more resilient.
Yeah.
And that's what made me think I had to adapt to many things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I have such a different outlook to situations now and be more positive about it. Because I think life's too short to be negative.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm on my deathbed one day, I'm not going to be thinking about the day I was so negative. I'm going to think about all the positive times that I had and the people around me, and that's what matters, you know? And I think that's kind of how it helped my mindset massively.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
And I think it's so important because I think, you know, you mentioned at the beginning, like earlier on, that sometimes you would think that, like, why me, right? And I think that it happens to all of us at some point where we can be the victim in our own lives. And and some of us go through some really difficult things, and you and other people would have every right to be like, why me, right? But that mindset, and that is, I mean, we're the only one that suffers from it. And actually, when you're able to shift things and take yourself out of any kind of victim mentality, and not speaking about you specifically, but in general, that's when your whole life begins to change.
Yeah.
Do you think it's that has helped you so much?
Yeah, definitely. And I think when I was younger and I used to say, why me? And, you know, that was the time when I always say with social media, it can be a positive and negative thing. Mm-hmm. And when Rose went on TV, that was the first person when I went, there's somebody like me on TV, you know, on Strictly Come Dancing, you know, she was incredible. And then going on Love Island and then using social media, it's so amazing now to see there's so many people on there using their platforms to educate people and raise awareness about their disabilities or anything they're going through with struggles. So I think, you know, it can be such a positive thing.
Yeah.
And then back in the day when I used to be so negative on myself, I think it's just because I was so scared, you know, of accepting this is what I've got to deal with my whole life. And now I actually see it as like a gift to be able to use social media, use my platform for good.
Yeah.
So it did take time to have that adjustment away from the, you know, the victim kind of mentality. Yeah. And now it's actually going to use it for good and use it as an opportunity.
It really reminds me of, I had Simon Squibb on the podcast and he was talking about how people can find their purpose. Mm-hmm. And he really said, like, find the thing that actually that's been the thing that you've struggled with or what's been your pain point. And how can you use that to help others? And that's such an amazing way to find your purpose. And so I love that. I think it really resonates with what you've just said.
Yeah, I love that.
In your superpower, you talk about the importance of taking responsibility for your growth. So what does that mean to you? What does it mean to take responsibility for your growth?
I think responsibility is not spoken about enough. You know, that people get scared to take responsibility, but that's how you mature and get more emotionally mature. And it took me a long time to be able to just take responsibility for something that maybe I was wrong in a situation, or that actually I wasn't wrong, and just say, you know what, hands up, that was my fault, I am sorry. I was very stubborn as a teenager. I never would ever be the person to say sorry or admit that I was wrong or right or whatever. So I think taking responsibility is a huge thing that people are just so afraid of doing. And it can be in relationships, it can be with families, it can be even with yourself, you know. And I think that's why in the chapter in Your Superpower, really delve deep into that. And it's such an important chapter, I think, in Your Superpower. It really is.
Yeah, I agree. It's accountability as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I actually think people think that taking responsibility or admitting that we're wrong is going to make us feel perhaps weaker or... But actually, when we're able to be like, oh my gosh, that was on me, actually, I think it's the most empowering thing that we can do.
It is.
Because then we take back some control, some agency, and we realize that we have the power to make a change.
Yes.
And that can have a positive knock-on effect to not only our lives, but the lives of the people around us.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that.
I have some quick fire questions for you.
Ooh, I love quick fire.
Okay, so... what one thing you do every day that helps you feel grounded?
I go for a walk with my dog.
Oh,
I know it sounds so simple, but I put my headphones on, listen to music, and I walk my dog.
I mean, heaven. And it's so good for you
to
be out in nature. your go-to confidence booster? It could be a song, an affirmation, anything.
Oh, I always say no one else is you, and that's your biggest power.
Yes.
I believe in that quote, and I feel like that's a good little booster to have.
I love that. Who's someone you consider to be a real-life superhero?
Oh, can I say my parents?
Of course.
Both of them. Yeah, I say both of them are.
Oh, that's so lovely. One book, quote, or piece of advice that changed your mindset?
Let Them by Mel Robbins.
So good. She's amazing.
I'm just literally finishing it as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I literally got like 5 pages, like 6 pages left.
And
love it. Like, it's changed my outlook on situations massively.
What has been your biggest takeaway from it?
It's the letting them just... It's like situations like you can't have control of. Mm. You know, you can't control everything. And it's like, why worry if you can't control it?
Yeah.
You know, that's a massive thing for me is, you know, for example, if something went wrong and you get stressed over it, it's like, well, let it happen. You know, why worry if you can't have control? So that's the biggest takeaway I have from
Absolutely.
It so far.
Absolutely. I love that. If you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
That's a good question. I would say hang in there.
Mm.
You know, just trust the process. You've got this. That's what I would say is just... let it be, you know, the universe has got your back if you also put in the work.
Yes. And what does rising mean to you?
Well, I would say, like, I think when I hear rising, I think growing.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I can imagine, like, just growing as a person. You're at your best self.
Yeah.
You're confident, you're happy, and you truly are proud of yourself. I feel like that's what it resonates with.
I love that. How are you finding being in the public eye, and what's that experience been like for you?
No one's ever actually asked me that, you know. It has its ups and downs, for sure. I feel so lucky to be in a public eye, to be able to help people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the downsides of sometimes I feel pressure of having to always be on the go, always having to look like I'm doing something, like I'm always working. You know, what's the next thing? What's the next best thing? I'm like that as a person as well. I like to challenge myself. I like to say, okay, what's next? I'm a go-getter. I get it from my dad as well. My dad's massively like that. And I think in the public eye, it's hard to lose yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you're so busy doing something, you can also lose track of yourself, or, you know, you sometimes need to slow down, and that's okay.
Definitely.
And I think that's where I kind of struggle with a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm always very, okay, you just keep going. I don't like to be at home all day. Like, I'm like at home, like.
Well, I think there's something quite addictive in like the adrenaline of it all. Because it's what you're doing is so exciting and it's so fun. And there's so many amazing moments that actually it takes a real effort in a way to remind ourselves of the importance of balance and grounding and rest.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so important. I know that actually you've said before that, lip reading can take quite a lot of energy from you. And so how do you protect your boundaries in that way and protect your energy?
I think just knowing when I just act, if I feel like I'm about to burn out, I'm honest about it. I think I'm very, especially to my management, I would say sometimes like, guys, I just need a bit of rest. Like, you know, just a bit of a day off, or just, you know, I'll do it later. I just need a morning to myself. Like things like that really helps me to get that energy back. And I feel like I now know my boundaries with that. And that's when I had to realise, you know, when I first came out of Love Island, I never really did.
Yeah.
And I was always like, it's fine. Like, it's all good. Whereas now I'm like, actually, is it okay, you know, just, you know, it's okay to have, it's that responsibility again, you know, it's having that responsibility to take care of yourself and knowing that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's so true. I always think about, you know, energy is like, it really, like, as much as it drains us, and we have to understand, like, what in our life and what do we do that takes that energy out. And it's fine if we do things that take our energy out, because often they're things we enjoy. It could be like socializing or working or going to events or whatever it is. But are we putting the energy back in? And so it's like making sure that we find the ways to like put, like recharge our batteries with whatever works for us, whether that's just a morning off or for me, it's like yin yoga or going to a sound bath. So it's about finding that, for me, is what balance is. It's about, okay, some energy is going to go out, but how can I put it back in?
Yeah, absolutely.
What is next for you?
Good question. I said to myself this year, I want to push myself to a different direction. Mm. I love to do presenting. So I said to myself,
amazing,
a presenting course. So I said, you know, that's the only way you can really, you know, take on new skills and learn new skills. I've never done it before. So that's why I'm going to put myself out there and try it and give it a go.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of what my next focus is. And yeah, we'll see.
Amazing. How do you do the course? Is it online or in person?
In person.
Oh, fab. Yeah, oh, I'm so excited for you.
I know.
And I love that. You found something you want to do and you've taken action.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Rather than thinking, oh, I'm just going to wait for the opportunity to come. It's like, no, I'm going to go and learn and I'm going to become a master at it and,
yeah,
you know, and then figure it out. So I think that's brilliant. I think you have such an inspiring story and such an inspiring mindset, and you have such a warm and lovely energy.
So are you.
Is there anything else you would like to share with anyone listening who might be struggling?
I would say, you know, just it is going to get hard sometimes, but I believe obstacles come your way for a reason, is to overcome them. And I know it's cliche to say life's a climb, but a view is great, you know. And when you get to that view, enjoy it, you know, take it in and enjoy it and then go on to the next thing. I think we rush being able to be proud of ourselves. You know, we always look onto the next best thing when actually we should just say, hell yeah, I'm proud of myself for that. You know, we need to do that more and be kinder to ourselves.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, thank you so much for being such an amazing guest on Rise with Roxy. I am so grateful to Tasha for sharing her story so honestly and with such strength. She's reminded us today that our differences aren't something to just overcome. They're things to own, celebrate, and use as fuel to rise. If you're listening right now and feeling like your confidence is still finding its voice, let this be your sign that it's already inside you. And just like Tasha said, it doesn't happen overnight, but every step counts. Tasha's book, Your Superpower, is available to pre-order now, and trust me, it's the kind of book you'll want to pass on to someone you love the moment you finish it. Until next time, keep rising, keep being unapologetically you, and remember, what sets you apart might just be the thing that sets you free.